Hello everyone, and welcome to the most feeling-filled game dev podcast in the world, House of Games. I'm your co-host Rune, and today I'm joined by my host Odo, as usual. But we won't end there today, because we have a very special guest, Lisa from Smartson. Now, before you introduce yourself, let us feel the doorknob of this week's episode of House of Games. Welcome everyone to the 24th episode of House of Games, and most welcome to our very special guest for this episode, Lisa. First of all, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do?
Yes, of course. So my name is Lisa and I work as a digital strategist at Smartson. We're a recommendation agency, though we work mainly with ratings and reviews, even though we're a media company. So we do everything from SoMe ads management to creative, I guess you could say, creative productions, anything with video production, customer interviews, graphic production, copywriting, creative concepts directly from scratch. All of this goes into the review kind of segment where we work with user-generated content. So it could be, for example, everything from FMCG products to beauty, skincare, even pressure washers from Nilfisk and gaming gear, vitamins, like everything you can imagine. We recruit our test pilots. We're on 8 markets, so the whole of Nordics, Spain, Britain, Netherlands, and Germany. So we're everywhere, kind of. And all of this goes into, like, consumer products, I guess.
Yeah, and before we started recording, we talked a little bit about, you mentioned that maybe the future of marketing is moving a little bit towards gamification. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that process and what does that mean in marketing, for example?
Well, for example, I don't know if you know Sunsilk, the hair care brand from Unilever.
Yeah.
They worked with Karta Gaming in England to make a Roblox map like of their brand, so you could interact with the products. And this was a hair care case, so everything from shampoo and conditioner and like salon gaming on the Roblox map. And I've actually been on the map myself just to check it out. And they had this salon like world where you could use their products and you could see the products on display in-game, and that was really cool because it looked the same as in real life.
So it's the products inside the game in this case. Is there any situation where it would be the opposite? Because that's what I was thinking, like a Roblox hair product thingy, and I don't know how that would look like, but could it be the reverse as well?
Well, I don't think so, actually, because we live in the real world, and I think like implementing the fake stuff into the real world would be that sounds pretty hard.
It could be like a Biohazard or a Resident Evil shampoo bottle, so you have to solve a puzzle to open it
every time,
and then it comes out like red shampoo. Yeah, every time.
Is it common then, would you say, from your experience with making, for example, game levels out of your product or integrating it into actual games? Or would you say that it's more common to sort of gamify ads, for example?
I would say for FMCG products, fast-moving consumer goods, that is, you could gamify, or it would help to gamify those products just to make them more, I guess, interactable, but also like to make people remember the ad.
Right, so how would that work in practice? Do you have an example?
I have a link that I will send you of Arla Kefir game.
Interesting.
So it's a puzzle game, and this would be a hard product to market because it's not like... Also, it will sell itself, but then also it's just a dairy product. So, I mean, it's not that cool. It's not that wow factor if you see it. I mean, like, how many yogurt lovers are out there versus, like, it's harder to build a community among these product segments.
I'm already hooked on this damn game. This is awesome.
Interesting. Playing it now, it's sort of like Bejeweled meets something, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, except without the super annoying ads which you find on all these smartphones. I think I told you, Odo, on a previous episode, like, I love these puzzle games on the smartphone, but they're always, they allow you to play for like 4 minutes, not even that, and then you get this ad in your face and you have to watch that before you can continue. This is just, you know, the Arla logo in your face all the time, so it doesn't really interrupt my game, which is pretty nice, I suppose.
Well, it reminds me, didn't I think Kalle's Caviar have some sort of Tetris game or something that everybody was playing? Like back in the, was that the 90s or early 2000s, I think. Something like that. I'll see if I can find it later and add it to the description. One thing I would like to clarify before we continue. So you said fast-moving consumer goods.
Yes.
So could you define that a little more in depth? For those who don't know what that means.
Well, that would be everything you see in your local supermarket.
Mm.
Anything, like sunglasses, for example. So it's not necessarily things you eat and drink. It could also be like washing detergent, dishwasher tablets, everything that is consumed.
Right, so single-use stuff.
Yeah.
So would games be included in that, or is that so-called slow-moving?
I think that is more slow-moving. But also it depends, because, you know, they have games for different age groups, I guess you could say. We made a campaign with Schooly, I'll link you that as well.
Yeah.
Which is a children's game for learning. So also here on the link you could see how it would work if we did a campaign with whatever company. We would build a landing page, and then also we need to be transparent, so we don't always post, like we can't post all the good reviews. We have to post the less fun stuff as well.
Right.
And also post, like, the test pilots' testimonials. And we do this so people could, I guess you would say, they could build their own opinion before buying.
So a part of your business then, correct me if I'm wrong, is to be able to determine what is attractive to customers or not by testing with real subjects.
Yes and no, because we we offer everything to anyone, honestly. There's not many companies that can offer reviews, creative productions, and SoMe ads. So I can sell everything to anyone who has a company if they need my services.
Interesting. And have you worked anything with, for example, games or anything similar to games?
The deal, it has not fallen through, unfortunately, but I did pitch where we could build for a company who sells and manufactures gaming gear, so anything from headphones to keyboards to CPUs and stuff like that. I pitched that we could offer branding in-game.
In what kind of game did you have in mind there?
I was thinking either CSGO, like as a custom workshop map, or in Roblox. Roblox is more moldable than CSGO, obviously, but I was intrigued when I saw ESPortal, you know, the CSGO client, like Faceit, they made a custom map on Inferno with Corsair, where it looked like they rebuilt the A site on Inferno, and it looked like a Corsair pop-up store.
Ooh.
And you could win, like, in the gathers, because this was a wingman map, so obviously you would only plant on A site.
Yeah.
You could win the products that were on display.
Very cool.
Very, very nice.
How much games do you play outside work and all that stuff?
just too many.
Okay, so you're quite into it.
Yeah, like I'm not super nerdy, but I have 1,500 hours on Counter-Strike. And then also I play some Valorant, Overwatch, League of Legends, and I guess Pummel Party with my friends.
Okay, interesting, because I have a question regarding that. When I listen to podcasts, this discussion come up once in a while with ads and stuff like that, if we're going to get them in our games. And people are sort of concerned that if they feel like, let's say you play, well, League of Legends, and then while you're beating your team, there's like a Coca-Cola truck driving in on the field. Like that's totally sort of out of the game, sort of. Do you feel that too? Or do you feel like, because you're working with this, do you have like more tolerance for that kind of stuff?
Oh, no.
Or how would you sort of... In terms of League of Legends, how would you then implement ads to make it not ruin the experience for the really hardcore people and so on?
I would work with skins, 100%.
Ah.
Because that wouldn't ruin the game experience and also not the like community, I guess. For every game, there is thousands and thousands of Reddit posts and lore and stuff like that. So like working with just smashing in the brands in the game, that would just be horrible. So yeah, I think I would work with skins or like custom maps, maybe.
Yeah. What if in the future, this is just me speculating, because the way ads work on other websites, right? It's like algorithms and stuff. Imagine you play Red Dead Redemption and there's like a billboard somewhere in this sheriff town. And from a coding perspective, that billboard can be... So let's say it's, I don't know, buy your guns here, mate. And then the code can swap that picture out to an ad from a company. And then you have in, for example, Grand Theft Auto 6, you also have a billboard. And it uses the same sort of ad algorithm in the background. And then all of a sudden you get a Coca-Cola ad in Red Dead Redemption and, you know, something totally out of place. But I guess in Grand Theft Auto anything could go because it takes place in reality, like now. But... Yeah, that was just like a minor speculation on the future, because I do think that this is cool stuff if it's done right, but I'm also worried that because it's money involved a lot, so I worry that in the future you will just have these algorithms taking care of the ads, and then I fear that it could be a problem in games that they get the ads in the wrong game and so on. Do you think that could happen?
That's a good question. I've never thought of it that way, but... Maybe that could happen.
Maybe.
But also no. Like yes and no. Because that would just ruin the whole community gaming experience. And I think this is a question for the game companies. If they want their community to adapt or stay the same or... Yeah.
Another angle that I'm curious about... concerning this, so say that a studio wants ads in their game, say that they're making a hockey game or they're making, you know, something where ads are applicable and wouldn't be that intrusive. So could anyone have an audience that provides any value for marketing companies, or is it only like CSGO and League of Legends that are able to do this?
The best thing would be to have a naked platform, I guess, if I can say it that way. A moldable platform. Like Roblox, but more, I don't know, I guess you could say not as cringe, if you know what I mean. Like, because it has that reputation that it's very cringe. And like, all the kids are on Roblox and they spend their parents' money without them knowing it, buying Robux and stuff like that. So I think the best would be if there were just a naked platform. So I guess anyone could offer it. I just haven't seen anything more towards that.
So to dissect that a little bit, what does moldable mean in this context? Or naked, if you will.
Well, first of all, that you could... If we take the Arla game, for an example, they made their own game. And it's only their brand, and I'm just assuming now that it's 100% their profit. Because if you make a game in, or if you make a map in Roblox, I think they take like 20% or something. So it's not 100% yours to keep or use, and like, I think you still need to pay. So a naked platform would be something where you could choose, like, whatever game it is, if it's puzzle or if it's racing or if it's mini FPS where you shoot the shampoo bottles or something like that, that is easy.
I'm a little bit unsure of how the monetary system works in Roblox. So do you pay a monthly fee and then like a percentage goes to the creator of the map, or how does that work?
Oh, I am yet to explore that part.
But basically then sort of a game where you have user created content, but the user is still the owner of the intellectual property. Something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about gamification in games or ads in single player, like offline games. How would that work? Like, would you pay a one-time fee, or would I have to, I don't know, patch it out eventually? Let's say I have a Smartzone ad in my game and then we sign a two-year contract that it can be in there, and then after 2 years I have to patch it out. But if it's an offline game or a single player game, you can't.
But can people like access this map with a code, or
no, you buy it like old school, like a disc, you pop it in your PlayStation 5 and then it's in there. Would that never happen, or does these things have to be deletable? Or does it have to be some sort of online-only service behind all of this?
I think it has to be both deletable and an online service. Because also, when company work with branding in-game, like in games that are already existing, say CS or Roblox, you have to make sure that your community and your target group gets in there somehow, and then build a community around that. So it would be less cost efficient if you were to send out maybe 4,000 discs.
Right.
Yeah, I remember like the older games, Tony Hawk and stuff like that on PlayStation and PlayStation 2, you know, they had the licensed music in the games. And I wonder if they had to, or it was like a later version, like PS3 when we had the internet. I remember there was some story about the license had expired, so they had to patch out the music. I think it was Tony Hawk or a Grand Theft Auto game. But yeah, you can do that if your game is online, obviously. But at the same time, if people decide not to go online, they will always have access to that track or whatever it is. But I guess ads feels a little bit more short-sighted somehow. Like you're trying to sell a product now almost, and then it wouldn't work the same anyway. It's just me thinking out loud. Sorry, guys.
About ads.
Yeah.
Something else I want to ask you is that I think it's sort of common that you see ads in games or commercial games or commercialized games, maybe. But I'm curious, how effective is that commercial? Is there any numbers on it? Is there any conversion ratio from making something gamified or making a real game out of a product and then expecting something in return?
Oh, well, you could see, for example, and this has nothing to do with gaming, it's just pure ads. If you go to, for example, boost.com, they work with, or like a lot of fast fashion companies online, they work with like switchable ads, I guess you could say. So they switch colors in the ad whilst you scroll on the page. And I guess this is to make people, like, they could track your move, obviously, on the site, and for how long you've been there, if you bought anything, if you put anything in your basket, if you didn't check out, and then they would analyze that. I just feel that gamification and gaming, like branding in game, is another way to make people interact with your brands, but also to make their own experience like around it. But I don't know how trackable that would be. Like, if you were to make a Roblox map. Like, obviously you could see how many people connected to the server and how long they were there, but they don't have like affiliate links or anything in the gaming servers. So that's not trackable for now.
But since you do, I guess, some product testing, if this would become something that people commonly do to market their services or products, then I guess you could do some sort of testing with real people and just have their, you know, talk about their experience of how it was to see that ad or that level, if it was fun or not, and if that then likely is going to be associated positively with a specific brand, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking if we were to launch the branding in-game feature, like we could offer that, like a solid map with brand rooms, etc. Because we already work with brand rooms on our site. So companies who done multiple tests with SmartSun, they get a brand room where people, like consumers or just people who are curious, could go in and read about the results and the tests and so on. Sorry, I forgot your question.
Yeah, no worries. So a brand room, what is that?
That is where we build the landing page, like the campaign page I just sent you. And then you would just select whatever brand you'd like.
Interesting. Can you tell us more about the testing process? I think for games, testing is also a very necessary process to not only make sure that everything works as supposed, but also that the experience for the player is, you know, the emotional response is what you expect them to have or something to that effect, at least. I imagine with ads that you also want to make an emotional connection. So could you tell us more about how do you test emotions?
Yeah, the whole process.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I will. I'm going to share my screen, actually, because I have a whole presentation. Yes.
Interesting. For those who cannot see this, I'm going to try to describe what we're seeing so you get a sort of a good picture of it.
Yes. So first of all, user-generated content, and that is what we've been talking about, ratings and reviews. And we work with test pilots, so just normal consumers, anyone could apply. If you're listening to this, you could also apply. And you would basically share on socials, like your social channels, when you test or give your testimonial after the test is done, I guess, like you received the product or the service.
Just a follow-up question on that. So you have people who sign up and then they receive products and then they have to post a review on it on social media somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So here I can show you just how it works. So say for this grill test with Weber, you would just fill in your name and where you live, your phone number, and then answer a few questions. We have this question that says, how do you want to share your reviews?
All right. And the benefit for them is then that they get the product for free, or do they get paid, or how does that work?
When it comes to some more expensive products, you can buy them for half price. But when it's like skincare or beauty, we always write out the recommended price for retailers, but we have to write if it's free or if it's not free, obviously.
Interesting. So they receive the product and then they try it out and then they just get to make a no strings attached like review of some kind.
Yeah, that also depends what brand mission we set with our clients. If we were to say, okay, let's do a TikTok challenge with skincare. So we'll send them these three products and the brand mission, which I'm showing the model now. So the brand mission would be to post, unbox, maybe use the products and share your three-step routine in this case. And then we would build a landing page, like a whole application form, I guess you could say, where the customer, the client, has a chance to highlight at least three unique selling points with the products and then give a little presentation about the brand. It could be either with a hero picture or a video. And then we invite consumers, and also we announce on our own social channels, like SmartSon on Instagram, for example, when there's a new test. But then our test pilots will get an email because they're already in our database. So if you've signed up normally, I guess, without going to a specific landing page, if you just click on become a test pilot, it's not working now when I'm gonna show you, but yeah. And then you would fill in what you're interested of, like category wise. And this would go out in different, like, whatever you want to get out of it, we can make it work. So if your goal is, your goal with the campaign is social and e-com reviews, obviously the brand mission would be for the test pilots to write the e-com reviews, either at retailers or your own site. The brand mission maybe could be, I know for Rawbite, we did testimonial videos where they would send out four different protein bars and the people would film when they took the first bite and give their testimonial, good or bad, like just whatever they thought about the product.
These test pilots, are they like influencers with thousands and thousands of followers, or is it like anybody with zero followers could just do the same and get the same sort of benefits?
Like anybody who'd like to try new products, help other customers. And then I can show you this Nordic user persona we have. So we have a very broad audience. This is just demographics from almost 8,000 people. That's not a lot compared to the total, which is around 400,000 people. But this is on all of the 8 markets. But we do have the strongest following in the Nordic countries.
Say, for example, that a game company would like to do something like this. So they have a game coming out and they would like people to just try it out and see if it's fun or not, and then make a video about it on social media to build some hype for the release. Would that be possible as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we could also make insights programs. We've done closed form tests before, if that makes sense. And with that said, I mean that we don't post the results. We build a landing page like we normally would do, but the results are not public. So you get a report of all the insights you would like to know then from the consumers. And it could be applicable on anything from games to, say, if you would to make a new flour that is gluten-free, and you would make a test group of maybe 50 people that are gluten intolerant that's going to try this and give their insights.
But the test people, like, I could become a test person to this, and why would I do that?
Well, you're not...
Or who is these test people?
Who are these test people?
Which are these creatures you guys hide in some basement somewhere?
Let me show you on YouTube. Let's see.
For our listeners, we will make sure to link this video so that you get to see them as well.
Yeah. That's good. But the test people, or it could be anyone. I could just show you. Here are the raw bites I was talking about.
All right. We have a person holding a protein bar and eating it and giving commentary.
And I see some other person.
So yeah, as you can see, just normal people.
Oh, so you build sort of trust in the brand, you just cut all of these videos together into one so that it feels like, oh, anybody can eat this, even me.
Yes.
Some sort of recognition in the person that you're seeing in the video, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, anyone would be a test pilot. Even kids. We made a campaign with Satake, who has launched a knife for kids, a kitchen knife. Yeah, so then that was a really cute testimonial video.
How do you get these test people? Are they reaching out to Smartson, or do you have some newsletter?
We have newsletters, and we reach out, like, if it's a specific age group or category of people, we use meta ads. But also, we've been around since 99.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we're really old, I guess you could say. Like, I first knew about SmartZone from a laptop test that I saw on HamsterPie, if you know that site.
Oh, right, that old site.
Ah, yeah.
When I was 10.
Right.
So this was 13 years ago, and I never thought that I would actually work here. That's so funny.
I had a question about that. I saw you were founded in 1999 on one of the things you showed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go back in time, in order to promote your product, one way was just to throw money at any TV station and, you know, they will show an ad of your product and the coming week everyone had the product because there was no internet back then. But that's how you promoted your stuff basically, right? On TV.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have internet and all these algorithms and AIs, and you've been going through some of the SmartZone stuff, like the questionnaires, and you have test people in a facility somewhere, and it's just so much more now. How far do you think this is going? Like, if we go further into the future, 10, 15 years, how can we keep building on this, and how can we just make it better and better? Because I assume things are just so much better. You went through a lot of statistics so you can tell who liked it and who didn't and so on. For how long can we keep on making these ads better and more powerful, do you think?
Well, without giving away too much, I would say, okay, so short answer, you'll just have to wait and see. But also, I think, okay, my long-term dream, okay, I can give this away then, and this is not a company secret at all, it's just a vision I have for SmartZone. So it would be a live test, I guess. That would be so fun if you could do maybe on Twitch. Let's say we work with a gaming company and they send out a whole kit, like cam, studio lights, keyboard, microphone, mouse, and then you would just unbox it and then try like a whole gather on Twitch. That would be really cool. I think if anyone listens, they're gonna steal this idea, but it's fine because I can't be the only one to think of it like that. But yeah, that would be cool.
But I feel like the gaming space must be the next natural step for ads to come in. Because you have it on the TV, we have it on the radio, we have it when you're walking about on the subway. It's just, you know, it's everywhere. But in games, they're still not there. But I guess that's a quite natural direction for this to move in.
Yeah, but also, I feel TV ads, I'm not going to bash them, but I am going to bash them. Because TV ads are like so annoying. But it's a really good way, like TV and radio ads, they stick in your brain with this jingle, and the jingle makers, the people who make the songs and the melodies, they're really clever. But they're also, I feel like they kind of miss out on the people who actually have the power to buy, which is the younger generation. We're the ones who are gonna consume, and if the ads are not getting to us, we're just gonna feel like their brand is not really serious and like kind of cringe, I guess. But that also, like, never underestimate the power of cringe, because it could really make people feel bad about the brand and associate it with irritating stuff instead of getting the aha experience. But also, I don't think we should focus on the aha experience too much, because you can't please everyone. So it's a broader audience, obviously, if you were to market yourself on TV and radio, because anyone could listen. And ads is more like ads and interactive ads and so on, branding in game, gamification is more towards a specific target group, I would say, or just the younger generation who is going to have the power to consume and buy in a few years. So that's like a step to build a great, I guess, interaction with the brands and the companies.
It's interesting you bring up the thing with TVs. I mean, I stopped watching TV altogether when I was about 16, and I was just so fed up with ads. And also I moved to the city from the village, so I just was blown away that I could go and buy candy at 8 o'clock in the evening. But I stopped watching TV completely since I was 16. And I'm feeling the same thing about YouTube. I know I can get this YouTube Red thingy, but the same thing with YouTube. When I'm on my phone, for example, I can't be bothered anymore because of all the ads. I sort of expressed it before, but I really worry what's going to happen when this stuff comes to gaming. I really hope the people who make it, like you, who are also a gamer, know what you're doing so it feels good when it's in there, in the games. Because I agree with, you know, you want to reach the audience and they're not particularly watching TV anymore.
Well, I feel the same about Facebook ads if it's not the right product or services. If companies want to reach out to people with children, they're not on Facebook anymore. People on Facebook have grandchildren nowadays. So like that's the completely wrong platform for that.
It's sort of like everything goes in cycles almost. Because here in Japan, TV is still quite big. But because what I'm doing for a living here is commercials, like modeling for commercials and stuff like that. But when I came here 10 years ago, it was a lot like TV ads and stuff like that. Now there's barely any of that. Now it's like when you get the emails, are you up for this job? It's an Instagram commercial or something like that. It totally shifted away from TV to Instagram and social media stuff. So because the types of ads I do, that's the targeted audience is on these platforms. They're no longer watching TV. But now, as you said, on Facebook nowadays, you have all these grandparents on Facebook because now the kids are going somewhere else. So now we have to sort of, I don't know where they are now, maybe TikTok or something like that, or Roblox. So now the ads are coming there.
Yeah, they're on TikTok. Yeah, but then also the ads has shifted forms, well, shifted platforms as well, because you can't make a normal, like if you were to implement a Facebook ad, like just a normal banner and then a picture. On TikTok, people would just scroll past it because it's an ad. They see it directly. It's not moving. It's not fun. It's not human, I guess. And that's kind of interesting because I feel like the younger generation, myself included, is a bit colder, I guess you could say. Like we don't have much patience when we see an ad and it's not something that we've already figured out that we need to buy, we will just scroll past it. If it's not a funny video or a meme or something that is like a human.
To play the devil's advocate a little bit, I think that ads are only a problem sort of like CGI. I don't remember what the video is called, but there is a video that says something to the effect of CGI is only a problem in movies when you see it. So they're in this desert and there's like desert storms and all kinds of stuff, but there's one scene where they're fighting while driving through the desert and the background is actually not a desert, I think. It's a soundstage or something, but nobody noticed it because it looked just like they were outside, and that's CG. And I think it's the same with ads, that it's only a problem when it's something that doesn't help you or something you're not interested in. But I can remember in my life when I've had services marketed to me that I was really grateful that they did because it actually helped me in some way. Just to take an example, I was called many years ago by a telemarketer who asked me about dental insurance, which was something that I was planning to get anyhow. And it was a great price, and it enabled me to go to the dentist every year instead of just, you know, saying, oh, I'll do it sometime. And I think that's also the same with marketing in general. And if it can enable game studios, for example, to have their games as a platform for marketing that actually works, then you could both help the customers and you can help studios to bring in some more cash to survive and make more games.
Yes, of course. And also in the Nordic countries, gaming is a strong, like, I guess you could say, God, I want to say it in Swedish, but vi har ett övertag.
All right.
Compared to the rest of the world, I think.
Yeah, we have sort of an upper hand against the other people, I suppose.
Yeah.
In what way?
In the digitalization way. And also esports. We're really strong in esports.
Ninjas in Pyjamas is actually just a couple of meters from where I live in Stockholm, FYI.
Do you think if these ads are coming into the video games, maybe there will be options in the future, let's say a PlayStation 6, when you sign up with Google or something or Microsoft and you have the start page on the browser, it will sort of ask you what you're into, and then you have like a news flow based on the stuff you're into. Maybe that's sort of how the future of gaming will look like too. So in order to play any games on your PlayStation 6, for example, you have to fill out that sort of questionnaire. What types of game are you into? What's your interests and so on? And then in the games, when you play the games, you have these codes which replace stuff in the game to make it more custom to you. Maybe that's how they could make it work so it doesn't really ruin it too much. Because I do agree with you, Otto, when the ads you run into actually is something that you're looking for, it can be quite nice. But that's just these super smart algorithms and all that, I suppose. But I feel like often it's really not what I'm looking at all.
Could we switch gears? So instead of ads in games, ads for games. I think it's a really interesting model, this whole sort of the average person influencer model of marketing something. So say, for example, that I would have a game studio and I would contact Smartson and say, I want to market my game. I want people to think it's fun and to let everyone else know it's a really fun game. And then I want the end goal to be as many sold games as possible. Could you do that? And what would the strategy be?
Oh, that is really interesting. I am yet to have that happen to me, but I'm waiting. it would be... I can't say everything yet, because nothing is like 100% ready. But okay, a key word would be...
So this is something you're working to do in the future?
Yeah, I am working after hours to get this done. I would love to have a community for every category. So, yeah, I'm sorry, it's so hard to explain what I want to do without, like, giving it all away. But basically...
But maybe in the future we could have a follow-up episode when you want to announce what you're working on.
Oh my god, yes! That would be so much fun!
Yes, absolutely, because that would also benefit our listeners, I think, because that would give them an opportunity to market their games. But go ahead and please tell us what you can say.
Yeah, okay, what I can say is that I am working to build a community for every category, like every test product category, so people could get in one forum and then also help each other, kind of like your community, Game Hub Umeå. People could share their expertise, but also bring in people that also want to be a part of something that makes consumers make smarter choices before purchasing something. So that's what I would do.
I'm very excited to hear when the actual process comes out, how it would work. Because as I say time and time again, that I think there's so many great games out there, even by indies, and many of them either have imposter syndrome, so they don't want to talk about it, or they just don't know how to market their great games. So both them miss out on opportunities to sell their games, and people who play games miss out on a great game just because you don't know about it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like people who market the games also need to, like, if you're new, either get with a agency that knows your clients, like the customer's customer, I guess you could put it. So you need to know how a gamer thinks.
Well, you should be on the right track then, I suppose.
Yes.
I have a video I want to share with you guys. If you can't tell, I am absolutely with digitalization and stuff. I feel like I rant about it every episode. I'm not into it. I'm living an offline life.
Really?
Yeah, totally. Since I had a child, it's just like I took my phone and never touched it again. It's out of my life.
Huh.
And this video I sent here, this is what I fear more than anything else. It's like augmented reality, and for listeners, it's called hyper reality. So it's just like everything is fake, and it's ads everywhere. He goes to like a supermarket, and everything he does, he has like an UI in front of him all the time.
This sounds like, you know, the artist Steve Katz?
No.
Oh, you don't know? This is kind of like the same thing. His main focus is like consumerism and how it's gonna end the world.
Ah, I see.
So here I can share a video. So it's called Happiness by Steven Katz. It's about a rat that is on a quest for happiness and fulfillment.
Hmm.
And it's kind of like the same vibe and message as your video.
I do have to say, though, that that video that you sent, Rune, was absolutely intense.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Put your volumes down when you click that link, listeners.
It is exhausting, I think.
Your video reminds me so much about Amazon Fresh, if you know that concept.
Oh, yeah, right.
Back when Amazon bought Whole Foods and they installed these hyper digital carts, so you don't even have to scan or stand in line or anything, you just log in and then you put in whatever you put into your cart. You could see how much you've shopped for, and like,
yeah. And then in that video, when he goes to the grocery store, the whole sort of system, the system breaks down a little bit and all the ads disappears, and then he's like, what the hell, and then he sort of get it up and running again. Which also reminds me of Sweden. I tend to rant about the digitalization in Sweden quite often, but just recently I tried to pay my damn taxes. But of course, the system is down. I feel like every time I try to do something, the system is down. That's my fear for digitalized societies.
Very interesting, yeah. I think we should have some episode about consumerism. Would be really fun to do that whole thing, and like the attention deficit and all of that. Very interesting.
I was gonna say, I really hope you can come back when you have more to tell about that thing that you can't talk about, because I fear this topic, but I also think it's really interesting, and I'm quite curious to see where it's going, because it's awesome.
I can share some insights from doing this podcast that I think is a bit similar to how you would market a game, that you also have to sort of foster a community and you have to have return listeners and for people to care about what you have to say and these episodes. And that also means like sharing a link everywhere, and it sort of feels a little bit sleazy to post stuff and try to hype it up and say, oh, this is such an exciting episode. But at the same time, there is actually people who do care about it. Or I guess people can correct me in the comments. But I think that some people are grateful that I actually did do that so that they could discover our podcast and enjoy the conversations, I suppose. So there is both sides of it. And if you do it right, I think there's opportunity for everyone.
Yeah, I agree.
And with those words, I think we're closing up on 1 hour, so that'll be it, I think. Before we close the episode, do you want to promote anything or send our listeners anywhere?
Well, I don't want to make free commercial stuff about SmartSun, but
Well, you can if you want to, because that's what this episode is about.
If you want to try out new products, go to smartson.se or wherever you are. You could just change the, whatever it's called, the link thingy. What is it called? So, yeah, if you're in Sweden, smartson.se, and then just see if anything comes to your interest. Apply.
Absolutely. We'll figure out and send it in the description, at least. You can look there, and if it's a language you don't understand, there's probably a language button somewhere to change it into correct language, I guess.
Yes. Also, thank you for having me.
Yes.
It was really fun.
Thank you for coming. It was really fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very, very fun. So thank you for taking the time.
And then we have to make the community thing for CS and Valorant and stuff in your server.
Yes, exactly. So before the episode, we talked that we don't have any like gaming in the Game Hub Umeå for some reason. So we have to organize that to have some CS nights or something.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny you brought up CSGO. I just installed it on my Steam Deck like the other day. It's really hard to play on the Steam Deck, but damn, is it nostalgic to play Counter-Strike again.
Yeah, and don't sweat it till CS2.
Oh, was that? Is that a real news?
Yeah. It's not fake news. It's releasing in summer, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, the volumetric fog and all of that stuff. Amazing.
Yeah. So you could noob smoke anywhere and it would still be good.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. Soon we're having an after work with the Game Hub Umeå, so I hope I can just rant about that we should organize some gaming activities and get it done, sort of.
Yes.
Great. And thank you again for taking time. And thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode. And thank you, Rune, as always, for being my great co-host.
Thank you.
See you everyone next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.